I'd encourage you to open your Bible this morning to Matthew chapter 23. I'm glad to see each one here and that you're able to be out this morning. We have several that are not able to be here for various reasons, and we are keep them in our prayers at all times, and I'll let Brother Jan make note of that at the proper time for the announcements. But this morning we want to talk about some things that Jesus said to the Pharisees. You know, we've studied extensively about the Jews in our Bible classes on Sunday morning and some on Wednesday evening the last several years here at Beulah. And the fact that Abraham, the man that God called, a man of faith, and promised him that of his seed he'd make a great nation, and of his seed became a great nation. The Israelites were a great people, great in number. They were God's people, and he gave them his law so that they might know who he is and how he is and what he wanted them to be. And sometimes they obey to a certain extent, sometimes more so than others, and sometimes they fail miserably. And that might be the story of my life or the story of anyone's life. But the Israelites were hot and cold. They were on and off. And some of the Jews, when Jesus came to this earth, he was born a Jew. He came to this earth to give his life for all mankind, Jew and Gentile alike, no matter what race, no matter what situation or social status or whatever it is. Jesus came to die for all men that all might have salvation. And while he was on earth, some of those Jews, specifically some of the Pharisees and Sadducees are mentioned more than others, that came at Jesus trying to tempt him. And the Pharisees especially they're famous now for some of the trickery they had in trying to trick Jesus, to get him to answer in the wrong way so they could have something against the Lord. And here in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus just tells them how it is, how their life really is. Because really, many of those were hypocrites. They professed to be Jews. They professed to be religious. They even made it appear outwardly, look what we do. Look at our deeds. Look at our actions religiously. Look who we are. They did that oftentimes while looking down their nose at others around them, of their own people somewhat, and especially those of other nations, especially the Gentiles. And so Jesus had a little talk with them in Matthew chapter 23, and really, he talked with them and told them, here's your heart. Here's how you really are. So let's look at Matthew chapter 23 this morning, beginning of verse 15, and read through verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel about on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering upon it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering of the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears both by the altar and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And he who swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. We see in this that Jesus is pointing out that there are a lot of things that they tried to obey, many things they held in high regard, many things they claimed to be doing. And they, in essence, he's saying, you claim to be one thing, and at the same time, you're neglecting the other half of it. You claim to be doing this, but on the other hand, you're failing, and you're leaving undone some of the most important parts you ought to be doing also. So this morning, there's some lessons, I believe, that I can learn from this at least, and hopefully will help you to examine your life and think about who we are in our life, and are we really trying to obey the whole counsel of God? Are we really trying to look into God's Word and fit our lives according to it and not leave undone certain things that He would want us to do? And so this morning we think about the phrase, and not to leave the other undone, as He said there in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. So let's look at some of these thoughts this morning about some things that we need to do and not leave the other part undone. First of all, we need to be people who are... Oh, got a problem with this. Hold on. There we go. We need to be those who obey the first principles of the gospel. Everyone needs to obey the first principle of the gospel. Hearing the word of God, after all, that's important, isn't it? Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to obey the first principles of the gospel, of God's plan for man. And that's just the first principles. And so we need to understand that it's not enough just to obey the first principles. Although when we do that, when we hear the word of God and we believe it from the heart, we repent of our sins, confess Christ, and are baptized, our sins are washed away. So we are then in Christ, and we've done what He asked us to do by faith to be saved, to have our sins washed away. But at that point, we're just beginning the path of life as a Christian to be able to get to heaven. So if we leave everything else undone after that, then we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be treading water for a while, and then we're going to be in over our heads because we're engulfed with sin, or we've gone back to the ways of the world, or we let our own whims and desires lead us astray, or perhaps we've let someone lead us astray by teaching us error. And so instead of just obeying the first principles, we have to do more than that. Certainly that is essential. Without those, we cannot be saved by the blood of Christ in the waters of baptism that represents His blood that takes away our sin. We're redeemed at that point, but we need to be sure that we do obey those first principles. Jesus gave the command, the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So it is necessary to obey the first principles, but it's also essential and necessary to obey the things after that. In Acts 2:38, those people heard the word of God. They believed it because when Peter preached to them, they were moved in their heart and said, "Many brethren, what shall we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And verse 41, "They that gladly received the word were baptized that day, and the Lord added them to the church." Verse 47. So we see that obeying the first principles is essential, but we need to do that plus not only obey the first principles of the gospel, but as we obey the first principles, we do not leave undone some other things. And so we can't just be baptized and come up wet and say, "You know, I'm saved now. I've got a free ride. Or I don't really have to work at it." But there are things that we don't need to leave undone, these other things, which involve spiritual growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter talks about the fact that as newborn babes in Christ, that's those who just obeyed the first principles of the gospel, hearing, believing, repenting, and confessing and being baptized, they are then to do what? Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Well, why is it essential for me to desire the Word, the Word of God, that you may grow thereby? So, when we're baptized into Christ, we don't need to leave undone getting in the Word, growing in the Word, learning the Word, and obeying the Word, and growing spiritually. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 10 talks about adding to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness. And if these things be in you and abound, ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't want to be like the Pharisees. We don't want to do part of it and leave the other undone because we're going to be in trouble with the Lord. When we hear the Word of God and we believe it and are baptized, we need to move forward and grow spiritually, add those things to us. And Peter goes on there in 2 Peter chapter 2, and he talks about the fact that, you know, if we have forgotten these things, if we fail to do these things, we've fallen from grace. And so he says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, be diligent to make your calling and election sure." So once we've done that, those first principles of hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, we don't need to leave undone studying, learning, growing, and applying that to our life and maturing spiritually, because that is essential also. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Turn over there and let's look at that verse this morning. The Hebrew writer, of course, the Bible doesn't indicate who wrote Hebrews, but he was an inspired person. And Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "So for by this time you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles, the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." So this morning, it'd be good for me to look at my life and each one to look at their lives and say, am I leaving undone some important things that I ought to be doing after I was baptized? If so, I need to be busy doing those things. A second thought this morning is that we need to be people then, after we're baptized, that we need to be people who will attend services. And attending the services is very important. That's something that God requires of us, to attend the services of the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 25 and 26 talks about the necessity of us attending services, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And we understand in God's grace and mercy to us that there's a difference in forsaking, willfully forsaking, and being prohibited from coming beyond our control, sickness or something. We know we have things that has to be taken care of sometimes that prevent us, but to willfully forsake the assembly is a sin. And so we need to attend the services. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we know the church came together on the first day of the week to break bread. And they were encouraged then not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. So assembling is important. That's something that we need to do. But are we like the Pharisees, and once we're baptized into Christ, we neglect the assemblies and put something else ahead of the assemblies? Maybe some kind of worldly pleasure or a trip and don't attend services, or maybe we just put something that we really could have put off, or we could have been there, but we let it hinder us. That's the point. So we need to attend the services and not leave undone the acceptable worship when we come together to worship God. So we can attend services, and we may attend every service, and we may come together to have services at a regular time every week. But if we're not doing as God asks us to do in those services, and those worship services are not acceptable to God, then we've left undone one of the most important parts of the worship, not just being here, but having the right elements of worship and participating in the worship in the right way. So the Pharisees were guilty of doing something that could be seen outwardly, but really they didn't finish it up. So are we doing something today when we attend the services, but when we get here, are we really involved in the services? Is our mind and heart in those services? Are we giving acceptable service to God in our worship service? It involves our mind and our thinking and our faculties to worship God. Jesus pointed out in John 4, verses 23 and 24, that they that worship God must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. So when I come together to worship, and you come together in worship, it involves coming together with the right frame of mind. The spirit of we are here to worship God, pay homage to Him and respect to Him. We are here to remember His Son's death and think about what He did for us. We are here to worship in the right frame of mind, our mind focused on spiritual things, and to have that right attitude. So when we do that, we can participate in the right manner. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he talked about the fact that they needed to be careful because there were some there that may not be participating in the worship service as they ought to. And he said, examine yourselves. When you break the bread and you drink the cup, examine yourselves. Or else what? You eat and drink damnation to your soul. So this morning when we think about worshiping God, it's important that we understand the whole thing and don't leave something undone. Certainly, most everyone will say, yes, attending the services is taught in the Bible. But then does everyone attend the services? Well, they may. But then what do they do when they get there? What do I do? Is there a worship acceptable to God? So that's a good examination for us today. I was talking to a gentleman this week. I've been a friend of his, I don't know how long, for many years. And he was a retail rep for a brokerage company, and he lives in Hartselle, Alabama. And he is a denominational man, but we're good friends. And we've discussed the Bible quite a bit and had some studies together. And we were talking about COVID and the effect it had had on different places where people worship. And he said, well, when it was all said and done, he said, after we got started back up, he said, it's like there's a certain percentage that never did come back. And he said, I'm told it's that way in most every place. And we were talking about that. And I said, well, the important thing is that we keep faithful ourselves and encourage others to see the need to be faithful in attending the services. And he said, well, you know what I've always said, Charles? He said, you know what Hebrews 10:25 says? And he quoted that verse to me. He said, we're not supposed to forsake our assembling of ourselves together. And he said, I'm not a judge and I'm not trying to be a judge, but he said, there's probably some of them folks right now that I see out on a daily basis that don't attend the services. He said, it looks to me like they're forsaking the assembly. So this man, he knows the scriptures pretty well. And that's what the Bible says, that, you know, we need to make sure that we don't leave undone the importance of what the assembly is about and doing it in the right way, in spirit and in truth, and serving God. Well, we need to know the Bible. That's important. Knowing the Bible involves these Bible classes that we have, studying with one another, and striving to learn more. Brother Jeff, sitting here this morning, he it has been 2 weeks ago. We sat right back there, and he said, that's one of my goals, is to learn more of the Bible. Cindy's been studying with him. And his goal is to learn more so he can know. And he can know how to write and divide those scriptures and then live them out in his life. And that's good to see that in a person. We don't never need to lose that, do we? We want to know what God says. We ought to be hungry for the Word of God, to know the Bible so that we can understand the will of God and understand what He's telling us. So to do that, we need to study 2 Timothy 2:15. And we need to grow then in that Word, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Scriptures are so important, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And so when we go to the Scriptures and we understand the need to know the Bible, that's wonderful. We need to study it and we need to learn it and we need to know it. But we don't need to leave undone teaching others once we do know it. Have you ever thought about how that sometimes that we study the Bible over the years and we look at things and there it is. Wow, boy, I know book, chapter, and verse. I can quote the whole book of Genesis or I name every major and minor prophet, and that's good. We need to be able to do that. But are we able then to be able to understand it and study it and teach others? What are we supposed to do? What does the Bible God tell us that we need to do as Christians? We need to study and grow in His Word. We need to know His Word. But then we need to teach others. Paul told Timothy, these things commit to faithful men who may teach others also. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, you know, fathers are to bring their children up with the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Mothers are to teach their children. In Acts 18 and verse 26, we see that there was a man named Apollos, and he was fiery. He was an eloquent speaker. But he didn't know everything about the baptism of Jesus. Knowing only the baptism of John, he was up and ready to go. And Aquila and Priscilla heard him preach. And they realized that he lacked some things. He was leaving some things undone. So they took him aside and taught him more perfectly the way of the Lord. See, that's what it's all about. As Christians, we need to know the Bible. But when we know it, we need to obey it and grow in it, as we've talked about. But then we need to be willing to teach it to others. Our spouses, our children, our family, our neighbors, our friends, those with whom we come in contact that will listen, we need to take an opportunity to teach the Bible. Don't leave undone teaching the Bible. Now, you look back over our lifetime. And there's some I'm in the age group of, a little older, a little younger. And some of us grew up in Coleman County, like Jan and I. And we attended services in many congregations, gospel meetings and singings, and our mothers taught us the Word of God. We heard it taught. And when you think about the Word of God and teaching the Word of God, and then you look and you see the shrinking numbers of Christians, the shrinking number, what happens? Well, a lot of times it's the untaught, that people are not taught. They just don't know. And so if we're taught, if we don't leave undone teaching and teaching others, we need to teach one another. We need to teach one another in the church and edify one another, but we also need to teach our neighbor and others we come in contact with. And that way, there are souls that are saved. The church grows. That's one of the keys, is don't leave undone the teaching of the Word once we study it, once we learn it. Well, we also need to seek forgiveness. We received forgiveness when we were baptized into Christ. But we need to seek forgiveness. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 talks about the fact, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Notice what he said there in chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. We need to seek forgiveness through obeying that which is taught in God's Word. And so when we seek forgiveness and we receive forgiveness, as we talked about in the first point this morning, the first principles, when we seek forgiveness and we're baptized into Christ, we need to continue growing spiritually, growing in the Word, obeying the Word, teaching others. And when we make mistakes, we need to not leave undone forgiving other people when things go wrong. It's important that God has given us the opportunity to get forgiven and then stay forgiven and be forgiven many times over, as often as we need it, while we're growing spiritually and learning to overcome sin and resist it and do better. And we'll probably have less times to forgive Him as we grow, because we're learning more and we're letting the Word live in us. But if we've been forgiven, we don't need to leave undone forgiving others. Forgiving others. Someone made the statement to me one time about a person. They said, you know, I don't know how many more times I can forgive that person. Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, He talked about forgiving others. And that kind of puts the open-ended thing on it. As long as people are willing to repent and confess and seek forgiveness, we better forgive them, or the Father in heaven won't forgive us. Matthew chapter 18, verses 22 through 25 talks about forgiveness and the need to forgive. Ephesians 4:32 talks about and forgiving one another. Be kind, tenderhearted to one another, forgiving one another. So, are we leaving undone important principles when on the other hand we've done something that was good for us, but we leave off also that which is just as important? We may have received forgiveness, but if we're not willing to forgive those who sin when they repent, then we're in trouble with the Father, aren't we? Well, let's look again. One more point. We need to be pure in doctrine. We talked about worshiping in spirit and in truth. And that part as far as having our worship pure. But we need to be pure in doctrine. Make sure that we're teaching the pure, unadulterated truth, which is the Word of God. In other words, the Word of God hasn't been changed. We're not taking away from it. We're not adding to it. We're not mixing something with it to help it sound good or make it easier for someone to say, well, we're soft-pedaling. No. We're to take the Word of God and be pure in doctrine. Paul warned against false teachers, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. He warned them against those in 2 John verses 9 through 11 that do not bring the doctrine of Christ. Don't bid them Godspeed in their evil deed. And in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, we understand that Paul emphasized the need for pure doctrine, for pure teaching. So we need, in the church and as individuals, to be teaching the pure Word of God. Take it as it is, no alterations, no taking from or adding to, no watering down, no sidestepping. Take the pure doctrine of God and apply it to our lives, and then not leave undone being pure in our lives every day. It's one thing to know the Scriptures and to teach the Scriptures and even teach others. But at the same time, what needs to be pure? Our thoughts, our words, our actions, our mannerisms, our attitude toward others and things in life. So, make sure that we do what the Bible says, learn the Bible and follow the pure doctrine of God, but be pure in morals also. Make sure our life is kept pure. And we do that by seeking and asking forgiveness when we need it. Very quickly, we need to begin in Jesus Christ, and we do that by being baptized into Christ and become a child of God as He adds us to the church. And we need to not leave undone faithfully finishing up our life in Christ. How sad it is for someone who begins their life in Christ and somewhere along the way they lose sight and they fall astray. Peter describes that as a terrible thing, to fall aside, to be moved away from the Word of God. It's a terrible thing. But we don't need to leave undone finishing up faithfully. That involves studying, growing, learning, teaching others, keeping our life pure, worshiping acceptably, loving one another, loving God, and asking forgiveness when we need it, and getting up and moving forward to do better every day, because we all make mistakes. Finishing that race faithfully in Christ. Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I give you a crown of life." Paul was assured that he knew assuredly, for a certainty, without no doubt, that there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He said, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all those who love His appearing." Isn't it a good thing that God gave us the opportunity to be able to do what He wanted us to do? Yet, doing some of what God asked when we know better, and leaving undone other commands of God, what can it do? It can keep us from heaven. Well, I need to be busy getting in the Word and studying and learning it and obeying it and sharing that with others, striving in my life to obey the whole counsel of God and not leave any of it undone. Hope the lesson this morning will encourage each and every one of us to look at our lives and look at the church at Beulah. And if we're leaving something undone that we should be doing, well, let's get busy doing it. We're going to sing the invitation song. If you're subject in any way this morning, then we can help you by being baptized, or you need the prayers of the brethren. Please come while we stand and while we sing.